Some stupid shit goes on here. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Stream of Consciousness Podcast. I am Joey Market Price Stout, and this is Joel Incense and Peppermints Cox. Hey, Joel, what are we talking about today?
Knock the shit off.
What's...
I'm sick of this garbage.
Joel, you had a really great idea, and I want to talk about it because I think that I think it's something we should definitely do for the show.
I've said a couple of really bad things before we started this podcast. I'm really scared what's going to come out of your mouth.
It was my favorite suggestion that you made was that we should do cocaine.
So,
of all the things you said, that's the one you were not expecting me to come back.
That was the least offensive of what I was thinking was going to come out of your mouth. So, audience, we have a question for
you. I can't really see what's going on in this camera, but I feel like the lighting sucks.
Lighting is perfect.
I feel like it's just all, it's chrome, and then it's like, it feels dark from...
It's perfection.
Can you
trust
see
me.
Any...
The fact that I don't need to put any lighting in this room makes me happy.
Okay.
So, the audience, we have a question to pose to you. Joe seems to think that we need to be hopped up on cocaine and caffeine and PCP and be happy and full of energy the entire time because you guys get half an hour of woohoo, yeah!
Oh, you mean for the show. I was actually just a suggestion.
I myself believe.
I was saying we should do some PCP and then go to the zoo.
Even Keel. Hi, welcome to Stream of Consciousness Podcast. I'm your host, and a nice, cool, calm, collective, comfortable level.
Is this the fucking jazz hour? What are you doing over there?
Like, I'm trying to get ask the audience a question of what style do they want? Do they want jacked up on cocaine or smooth jazz?
If we were given like, if we were like hosting some sort of like radio show where we played like romantic music, where we were listening to some Sam Smith, and we were just kind of like,
my point is,
everybody,
there's a lot of anxiety in this world, a lot of stress, a lot of triggers, and I'm not trying to trigger people when they listen to our podcast. So when you start the podcast, you got the upbeat music. That's good. But when you punch it in like at 12, not 11, but 12, and these people might be on the edge of their seat going, I almost had a heart attack. What's wrong with this Joe guy? That Joel guy is so nice and calm.
First of all, I'm certain everybody who listens to our show wonders what's wrong with this Joe guy. But all I'm saying is I like when we have... I have a little more energy than the average person a lot of times.
Yes,
anyways,
you do.
I have a little
but
more
you want
up.
Us... But you want to put your foot on the pedal to the metal the entire time.
No.
You're going to have a heart attack.
Like, I just want to have fun, Joel. Why do you hate fun?
We can have fun and be calm. We don't have to be all jacked up.
You know what this reminds me of? This is like when I was a little kid and we had this babysitter lady. I don't know where she came from, where she was a friend of the family kind of thing. And she was always like, we'd be running around and having fun and playing with toys. And she'd be like, can you just sit, just read a book. Just sit and read a book. And
I'm
like, that's you're the sit and read a book lady.
I'm not asking you to sit and read a book.
Joel, you're an old white woman.
I'm not asking you to sit and read a book.
You don't want me to have any fun.
I'm just asking, why does everything be so jacked up for you to be happy?
It's not that I have to be jacked up to be happy. It's just I
want
to be
happy.
But
we do a podcast, I'm like, that's a nice podcast. You're like,
our last podcast was like an hour long, and we talked about...
I'm not talking about that one. That one was amazing.
I like that one.
But
I'm saying it was...
But 2 weeks ago...
It was just...
But 2 weeks ago, you're like, wow, that was kind of dumb. I'm like, what's wrong with you? That was a good podcast. We had a good conversation.
Some of our podcasts are a little more dry.
So when I asked one of our listeners, why do you like the show?
He said, I like to do heroin.
She said... It's like having two of your college friends sitting around just shooting the shit like you used to.
I'm just saying, like, there's... I'm not saying that we... I know that you're not suggesting, like, we play, like, the sounds of the ocean and let people fall asleep. We're not some bluesy, low tone. We're not a podcast that you turn on just to zone out and fall asleep to. And I'm not saying we have to be over the top all the time. I'm just saying, like, there's their normal daily life plateau of energy. I just feel like as a podcast, it's nice when our podcasts are a little bit above that. When we
you want speed. If we drop below 90 miles an hour, someone's heart's going to stop and we're all going to die.
It's not an action flick. It's a podcast.
You want an action flick. I want a nice...
I want a podcast that kind of gets you going, yeah, like, and it puts you in the mood to be alive, just makes you feel invigorated, gives you that viva la vie.
Life sucks, we're older, we're over 40,
We're all going to die, okay? I'm just trying to make it the end of the day without having a heart attack.
Joel's just trying to get to the point where Social Security kicks in and he can stay at home and watch live PD.
So
Joel just wants to read his magazines with his feet up on the drink of Corona.
I hate Corona.
I know you hate Corona. I'm just saying.
Bean, though. This is with not, vanilla and Pepsi.
This is not wonderful. A retirement. My nose is itchy as hell right now. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Too much cocaine.
It's not enough cocaine.
So.
Oh, I just watched a movie with. What should I watch? Oh, you know what? I went back and watched Ryan Reynolds, Sam Jackson, Hitman's Bodyguard. Hitman's Bodyguard. And that was one of the lines in the beginning. I forgot he said that. He's trying to get the lawyer out of the place, or the lawyer business, whatever the fuck he was. He's trying to get him out of the place, and he's like, just stay calm, listen to me, do what I say. And he starts to walk down the hallway, and the guy runs off in the other direction, and he's like, whatever the guy's name is, Anderson, this way. What is it? Is it too much cocaine or not enough cocaine? And like, just something about that line just like cracked me up.
So what I want to talk about today, before I go with my little side jag. Bad Boys for Life.
Oh, yes. All right.
So my coworker Blake and I, we bonded over Bad Boys 2.
Can I just real quick say that I don't do cocaine, just before that rumor goes out around about me? I don't do cocaine.
Sure.
It was important to me that people know. Joel, okay. You're going to give me a bad rep over here.
Sure.
I don't.
Okay.
Anywho, okay.
So I've been working with this guy for like 4 years. He left like right before Halloween to get another job. But before that, they had a trailer for Bad Boys come out. And he said, dude, you're the only person who's going to see this movie with me because nobody else wants to see this movie with me. So when it comes out, we got to see it. I'm like, okay. It took 3 weeks, but we did it between a stomach flu and him traveling for business.
Wait. You lost me here. You said back in Halloween?
Yeah.
That movie hasn't been out that long,
no.
Has it?
The trailer came out in Halloween.
Oh, okay.
He left around that same time. But we said, when that movie comes out, we got to see it together.
And it's out now, right?
Yeah, it came out in January.
Okay.
The end of January.
All right.
So this is my test to see if this guy would actually follow through. A lot of people, they leave a job, oh, yeah, we'll keep in touch, da-da-da-da. 75% of the coworkers that have left that I know, actually, like, were friends with, have not talked to me since they left. But this dude actually got a hold of me. We actually went to go see Bad Boys for Life. And I watched the first two before I went to see the third one, because that's the thing I do when it's when there's three
movies. You refresh yourself on it.
So, Bad Boys 1 came out in 1995.
Oh, wow. Has it been that long ago?
I hated that movie back then.
Oh! How dare you?
It wasn't what I expected. I wanted more action. I wanted more, like... I don't know.
Cocaine?
Bad Boys 2...
Wasn't energetic enough for you?
No, it wasn't energetic.
It didn't give you a heart attack and make you feel like you're on speed?
No.
You son of a bitch.
I realized in 1995, there was no budget for action movies. There was no budget for blowing shit up. In 2003...
I think it's why Jackie Chan did so well back in those times. Because he can be entertaining and he's adventure and exciting without the budget.
Yeah. In 2003, Bad Boys 2 came out. And that was perfection.
It was a really good... I think Bad Boys 2 might have been better than the first one.
It was
a
lot better.
I really liked the first one.
One of the reasons I also love Bad Boys 2, because of the racial humor between the black cops and Hispanic cops.
Mm-hmm.
But when the chips are down, and they got together, they went to Cuba and got his sister back.
Right.
Like...
Well, and that, I think that's just... That's kind of like got that buddy comedy thing going
exactly.
on.
Exactly.
You've lost a little bit of that in society today. Like, people are so afraid to have that. But, like, that's the way you are. Like, me and you make fucked up jokes with each other all the time because like, we're friends.
Yeah.
That's how friends interact. Like, it's not
racist. And the thing is, like, you can't really tell if these cops are friends or not because it's like, oh, isn't it time to yay, I'm having a party. Want some fried chicken, some watermelon? And they come back. Isn't it low tide? Isn't it about time to get your kid, your family? And they're like, dude, that was so cold.
Right.
But then in the movie, they're like, hey, we're in. I don't care what the hell's going. We're fucking in.
In real life, in actuality, if you know someone and you're having a bad day and you go, I'm having a bad day, and they go, let me hear about it, man. Like, what's going on? Let me talk to you about it. That's not your fucking friend. If you go, I'm having a bad day, and somebody goes, hike up your fucking skirt and let's get about it, that's your buddy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a real friend sounds like. A real friend fucks with you and messes with you and gives you shit. That's what real friends are.
And when somebody else goes to fuck with you,
at least with guys.
And when someone goes to fuck with you on your bad day, they got your back.
Right.
Like, in Bad Boys 1, So
as a friend, nobody's allowed to fuck with my friends. Nobody's allowed to fuck with Joel except for me.
Exactly.
I'm the only one.
So Bad Boys 1, I forgot about this, but Will Smith's character knew this girl, and she was like a, I guess she was an escort.
In the first one?
Yeah.
Okay.
And her friend,
it's been a while since I've seen
Yeah, her friend went with her to this party, which happened to be the party ran by one of the henchmen of the main bad guy.
Okay.
So the friend dies. Like, she gets shot, another girl gets away, and she's the witness.
Yes, okay, right.
So so they show the part where Martin Lawrence sees the girl and is like, oh, shit, and hides the bot, tries to, like, not let him see it. And then when he sees it, Will Smith, like, falls apart because he knew this girl. They were friends. And he basically goes to the captain, like, dude, he knew her, give him some space, like, leave him, nobody fuck with him. I'm like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So in the second one, like, it's Martin Lawrence's character. His sister gets kidnapped to Cuba. And, like, everyone's like, yeah, we're here for you.
Oh, who's the girl that played his sister?
Oh,
she's hot.
Yes, Gabriel Union. But, like, the third one was also good. Like, they did
it. I haven't seen the third one yet, so don't
I'm not going to worse.
Okay.
They did a thing in the very beginning that when you see the trailer, you see all this stuff that goes on, like, well, how are they going to pull this off? And then, like, I don't know how to say this. It was weird they took that route, but then they had another twist. You're like, holy shit. Like, you get all these twists, I'm like, I still like this.
Yeah,
and I wasn't disappointed, because Bad Boys 2 was in 2003. Here it is 2020, and Bad Boys for Life comes out. You got...
I like that they don't glamorize the... They let them age.
Yeah.
I mean, at least from the little bit that I've seen. Like, yeah. They don't... Like, Will Smith's held up really well for his age. He's got to be... Oh, he's got to be in his 50s or something now. Or pretty damn close, I think. He's up there. He's got to be late 40s to 50s. And he's in really great shape for that. Martin Lawrence is in a similar age group.
Mm-hmm.
But they really, like, that's how people age. Like, Martin Lawrence is, like, they made a joke, I think, about him needing to wear his glasses.
Yeah.
They have the, like, he's the dad. He's the
Martin family. Lawrence is 54.
Holy shit, is he 54? Actually, Martin Lawrence looks good for 54 also,
mm-hmm.
but they play him as a 54-year-old.
Yeah.
They didn't do this whole, he's young and he's still out all this, you know.
Will Smith is 51.
Okay. But they, and they play them their age, but they play them the way that people do really, they made it more, I mean, obviously it's a movie, so there's a lot of unrealistic element to it, but they didn't create this environment where they're like, it's not this ultra hyped up, you know, like when you see Arnold Schwarzenegger in a movie, he's 70 years old, but he's still like jumping out of planes, and carrying giant machine guns and shit like that. Like, they didn't do that. They made them. And some of it adds to the comedy, but a lot of it just adds to the story. And there's definitely a difference between that.
Well, the other reason I went back to watch the first two, I was curious whether they're gonna do any Easter eggs from like the first two.
Okay.
And they did. There's a couple. There's one scene that they do. In the second scene they do, I'm like, holy shit.
When they sing Bad Boys. That's in the
Not trailer. Just that, but that's all through the all three.
Right.
But I'm saying, like, there's little small things. If you didn't watch the first two.
Do you feel that it's worth it to go back and watch the first two to watch the third one? Can you watch the third one if you've never seen it?
You can watch the third one without watching the first two. But, like, there's a couple jokes that, like, my favorite scene, well, I'm not gonna do that because I might ruin the second
one. We don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah.
Right.
But my point is, they bring a character back. And you're like, great, that's great. Because you always wonder, who are you going to bring back? Because, like, it's been so long. Like, how are they going to age? But, like, it was done really well. I didn't feel disappointed, unlike the third Matrix movie.
The chief, Joe Pantoliano, I think is his name, his real name. I don't know what his name is in the movie. I can't remember. But I like him because
he's your classic, what the hell?
Right,
I've got the chief so far up my ass that he spits and comes out of my mouth.
Like, and that's, he says that kind of shit in the movie, too. And I love that because, like,
well, the best
you go back to those corny old 80s movies. Like, you go back to, like, what's the one with the Sylvester Stallone? And any one of them. Mm-hmm. Any well, old Buddy Cop movie.
The running joke is like, oh, this dude, boy, Captain Killed you didn't? Well, I did shoot that guy. But that guy wasn't my fault.
Right. No, I like the element that he puts into it, because even though, and I haven't seen the new movie yet, but I know he's not like a main character. Side characters like that create that sort of tension really a lot of ways dictate the movie and the feel for the movie. And just even though he's not in every scene or even in the majority of scenes, like he creates this comedy to it, but also it makes the characters, it makes Will and Martin Lawrence sort of responsible beyond just the mission. It adds a dimension to it.
Yeah.
It takes it out of this two-dimensional, this is our goal, this is what we're going to do, this is what we're fighting for, but they also have all these other sort of rocks being thrown at them in a metaphorical sense.
It's one of those things that it's a movie that they did. Oh, apparently Will Smith directed it, I think, if I remember correctly. Oh,
did he?
Yeah.
I believe it. If not, I bet he produced it.
But like,
he's got his hands in everything.
The fact that like they do remakes or they do sequels later and they're like meh. Like Blade Runner 2049, yeah. That was
dry.
Did you see the first one?
Yeah, it was even drier.
The point is they did it right.
I don't know why everybody loved that movie. I could not get into the Blade Runner. It was not a terrible movie. I'm not going to down the movie. What I'm going to say is I don't know why it was as big of a movie as it was.
Because Blade Runner was one of the first cyberpunk movies ever created.
Yeah, it was just,
and the creator of that book coined a lot of phrases for cyberpunk and the genre.
Okay, well, I never read the book, and I bet that really makes a big
difference. The book is totally different from the movie.
I imagine so.
But the point is, though, like, okay, so you had Blade Runner from 1985. They bring it to 2049. But when they did it, Harrison Ford is old. And they didn't like make it, they didn't try and make him young. They didn't try and pull back whatever.
Right.
And he was a part of the movie, but he wasn't the main part of the movie.
Yeah. Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
Stepped into, and the movie, here's the thing, is I think part of what I didn't love about it was a bit too predictable. I don't know if you, when you watched it, if you were like, obviously that's the, and I don't want to ruin it for anybody who wants to sit through 2 hours of that boring ass shit, but there's supposedly this twist ending kind of thing where you realize something, but as soon as it came there, I was like, there's only like three characters in the whole movie. Like I put two and two together. It was not difficult for the movie. On top of that, it should have been edited down so much more. It was every scene, and the same with the first Blade Runner movie. It just dragged out. Like
the question is, which then, but did you watch the Blade Runner with the commentary or without commentary?
No, I don't watch anything with commentary.
No,
I hate watching.
No, what I'm saying is, there's a version. There's three versions of the Blade Runner.
Okay.
There's one where Harrison Ford does a commentary throughout the movie.
Wait, Harrison Ford does or Harrison Ford's character does?
Harrison Ford's character.
Oh, okay.
And there's two versions where it doesn't. There's like the theatrical, the director's cut, and then there's the ultimate cut.
Okay, no, this changes. That's a big, that could possibly
And people say that the certain versions have pros and cons. So that's why I'm wondering, which one did you watch?
I don't remember, but I'm pretty confident it was not one with Harrison Ford commenting throughout it.
Because, like, so in the one who, basically, because he's a detective, he's talking about the case and all this stuff, and some people saying it added to the movie, some people say it took away from the movie. So
I would potentially, because it's not my favorite movie by a long shot, obviously. I'm not sure about that.
It's near and dear to my heart because it's in the book Ready Player One. It plays a pivotal role in one of the parts of the book, but like, it's classic. All cyberpunk kind of do a homage to it whenever they do a movie.
Homage. H is silent.
Okay.
Sorry.
Good to know.
That's I like words. I can see where you're coming from with that. I would potentially rewatch it with the Harrison Ford characters. I can't remember his character's name, but I would rewatch
Deckard.
It with that. Okay. Yeah. Deckard Shaw? No, Deckard Shaw is Jason Statham's name in Hobbs and Shaw. Have you seen Hobbs and Shaw?
Yes.
I actually really liked
that. So that's another thing. So we got Fast and Furious 1, Fast and Furious 2, then they paused a little bit, did 3, and then finally Vin Diesel came back.
3 was what, Tokyo Drift?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Then finally he came back. So, like, I feel like there's a certain amount of time you can skip before you come back, and it's acceptable. But, like, for example, Riddick. But then the Riddick came out in 1997, I think. And then Chronicles of Riddick.
Just to keep everybody on page, Riddick was a sequel to
Pitch Black. Pitch Black was the first one. That was like 96, 97. And then in 2003 or 2004, Chronicles of Riddick came out.
Yes.
That one was okay. I mean, this.
Well, it time jumped pretty well. Like it said that.
It allowed the one character to age.
Well, okay, and here's where I don't know if you're aware of this or not, and I haven't seen it, but there is a cartoon version.
It's
that fills that gap.
Yeah, there's a Pitch Black,
and I believe Academy Award winner Vin Diesel does do the voice of Riddick in the cartoon also. I think he produced it.
That's his baby, Riddick. So Pitch Black, they're on a basic. Long story short, interstellar like. Convoy ship is taking these passengers across the galaxy. They hit by an asteroid storm, damages the ship, wakes up the captain. Captain has to land on this planet. You got these creatures that only come out at night. Big surprise, night lasts for like 40 days or some shit like that.
Yeah.
So they gotta get off the planet. So a few people survive, they get off the ship, off the planet. And then the cartoon talks about how they got picked up by a bounty hunting ship.
Okay.
And how they escaped that.
I didn't see the cartoon. I'd like to see that just to fill in the gap there.
Yeah, I have it. I have the DVD.
They
the
do
DVD.
Something similar with The Matrix, too, where they fill in some gaps.
Well, the Animatrix, I'll get to that after we get done with this. But what basically what happened was they get in the ship, and you find out how they escaped there. And then you find out years later, Chronicles of Riddick happened.
Okay.
So then, I think like 2012, 2013, Riddick came out. So that's another jump of like 8 to 10 years for that movie. But they went back, they kind of went back to the roots of Pitch Black and being on a planet and a very small cast.
Yeah.
Because Pitch Black had like maybe 20 characters max.
I don't think it was that many. It was basically, it was Vin Diesel, the girl, Cole Hauser.
Yeah, but there's other passengers.
Yeah, but everybody dies pretty quick.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if you count them, there still was
I'm trying to.
No, I'm sorry. You're right. Go ahead.
Yeah. The point is, like, then you have Riddick, which is him basically stuck on this planet trying to get off and fighting these mercenaries. And it's also, like, small quarters. You got this giant planet, and most of these movies take place in these small areas.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. But, like, supposedly there's another movie coming out, and hopefully it'll be out in the next couple years. But, like, these gaps of, like...
There's another Riddick movie coming out.
Supposedly.
I did not know that. Okay.
So, these gaps of 5+ years, I feel is very risky. Because, A, is everyone still alive? B, does anybody care?
Okay, but it takes a while to put a movie together anyways, and the... Okay, for example, and I know it's a great movie, and I'm not downing it, but when we talked before on one of the episodes, we talked about John Wick.
Mm-hmm.
Now, John Wick... There's 3 movies so far that have been out, mm-hmm. potentially a 4th one, because at least they set up...
No, fourth is coming out.
Is it, okay, right. Now, these movies take time to play through, and you got really mad at me whenever I said this, but like John Wick 1, great movie. Keanu Reeves was amazing in it. All the movies were good. Just before we even get into that, I'm not building up to a bad movie at all. But you have this... If you look at the movies overall, 1, 2, and 3 so far, just the ones that have been released, they do the thing with the dog, and then the hotel, and then just the fighting of the mm-hmm. like it's all... The movie itself, the 3 movies themselves, run the span of, let's say a week, 2, mm-hmm. maybe give or take. I don't know. It's all pretty much back to back. But the movies themselves, to actually in real life film and edit and release, have been over the course of 6 or 7 years at least.
Mm-hmm.
So you have Keanu Reeves. He's still an amazing actor.
Yeah.
But over that 7 or 8 years, he aged 7 or 8 years. He doesn't look like he aged a week or two.
Keanu Reeves doesn't age.
He still looks amazing for his age, but if you look at John Wick 1 versus John Wick 3, you can see it in his face. He's gained a little bit of weight. He's still in great shape. Nothing, not downing him. You can see it in the way he moves. He's kind of slowed down a step or two. He's still badass, even with all this. But you can see... that he did not age a couple weeks, he aged several years. And it shows, because he's at that age where that kind of changes. Like, there's certain points in life where life just drastically changes. Like, you from 29 to, say 35, that's an age change, time of life. From 20 to 25, you might not change at all. But, you know, there's certain points in life where, like, things just kind of teeter.
So
puberty, once you hit that 40-year-old mark, whenever you get, like, I mean, like, you can't necessarily always tell the difference between a 60-year-old and a 70-year-old, but you could tell the difference between a 40 and a 45-year-old kind of thing. Like,
so it was 2014, 2017, and 2019.
Wait, 14, 17, 19?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so 5 years. Plus the time it took him to film it. The movies came out in 14, so it was recorded before that. So let's say 4 or 5
but
years.
Like, okay, so here's this new Matrix movie's coming out. And Bill and Ted coming out.
Yes. Okay, perfect example. I don't know how they did it, but Walmart has a commercial with the dude who plays Bill from Bill and Ted, and it's from whenever he was young till he is now, and you can see like this massive difference in how he looks. They did a really great job splitting this together. Basically, he just shows up to pick up his groceries, and he's like, excellent! And that's the whole thing. But if you're going to film a movie, and you're going to have an actor who did legitimately age 4 years, 5 years, 8 years, 10 years, Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to own up to that age difference. You can't play Luke as a teenager or a 20-year-old. Now he's a million years old.
Mm-hmm.
So you roll with the punches. And I think that they did a good job with The Matrix. Is fantastic as the Fast and Furious movies are. They're all just top-notch writing and the most perfectly directed and acted pieces of film ever. As great as they are, they did do a good job keeping with somewhat of a timeline.
Yeah.
Is that where we're going with this?
I'm just thinking, like, I feel like there's a cutoff for how long you can do between movies. Like, if it's about 10 years, maybe you shouldn't do a sequel.
It depends on how you write the script. If you're forcing it, no. If you're saying, let's make a movie to make money, expect not to...
Yeah, so I guess I should put it this way. Kurt Russell. In the 80s and 90s, he was an action hero. He realized in the late 90s, maybe I shouldn't be an action hero anymore. Maybe it's time to be dad.
You're not bringing back Snake Plissken! If you do... Snake Plissken was one of the greatest. Escape from LA, Escape from New York.
Mm-hmm.
If they do like a new one where it's like Escape from, I don't know, San Jose or Houston.
No, they have to talk about that job in Reno is what they need to do with that third movie.
You remember everything. I don't remember any of this shit. I'm saying like if you were to bring back like that movie, you have to play that character as aged or you have to recast it and
exactly.
Just reboot. But I would not have a problem with watching an Escape From movie with him in
it. I'm okay with a reboot more than I am with when you just take like Harrison Ford and be like, okay, you're Solo again. We're going to make you the same age as 1985.
Right, but they didn't do that. They brought him back and said he's old.
But I'm saying some of these movies, they do that.
I'm not opposed to them. I'm opposed to them trying to keep a character young, like the John Wick thing.
Mm-hmm.
I wish that they would have wrote John Wick a different way where like maybe they could have said, okay, that whole situation happened, and then he like hit underground for a few years, and now his hiding spot got blown up or something.
Yeah.
Or whatever. You know, I mean, I don't give a shit. Like, it could have been...
So my biggest problem with John Wick 2 was the very end. We had to go back on the run with the dog. I'm like, someone shoot that fucking dog, and I'm about to go kill somebody. But then they fix that in the beginning of the third movie. I'm like, okay, I don't have to worry about the dog.
He
now.
Checks the dog or something.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
But it's like, that's my biggest problem. I was like, what's wrong with the dog? Like, I was so mad at the second movie that I didn't want to see the third movie.
He kills like 100 people in the movie, and everybody's like, yeah, okay. But the dog is like the one thing that you don't kill a fucking dog, man.
Well, you and I were talking about this a while back. There's that Polar movie that came out on Netflix a year or so ago. It's basically, I call it the Kmart or Dollar General John Wick.
Wait a minute. Did I see this? Did we talk about this?
Maybe. Basically, the guy...
You might be mistaken. I don't think I've seen this one.
No, I said Eugene and I talked about it. We might have mentioned
Eugene.
This.
I thought you said I talked
about it. No. But long story short, assassins retire, and this company, instead of paying their retirement, goes and kills them.
Okay.
Well, this one assassin, he was smart.
You need to tell me about this.
Yeah.
I could have watched this.
So, there's a scene where he gets a dog, and he shoots a dog. No character development, no reason for the... If you cut that sex movie out, you wouldn't even miss it. It's like, you shot a dog for no reason.
Oh, we did talk about this because I said that they did it for shock value, and I don't like that.
Yeah.
Just to do something for... I mean, that's punching Baby Yoda.
Uh-huh.
You just don't do it. There's no reason for it. It didn't add anything. All it did was is create a buzz point for people to talk about.
Uh-huh.
It was Sweeps Week is what it is. I disagree.
Who remembers Sweeps Week? Take a shot.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, shit. Yeah, that is an outdated reference, isn't it? I'm not getting into that one. I'm not explaining what Sweeps Week is to you young bastards. But, okay, so, yeah, I get where you're coming from with that. I have no problem with the age jump on things as long as it's well written.
Yeah, that's my thing. If there's a good reason to do it,
right?
Yes. But if you're just doing it to do it, no.
Well, and I think that, like, when you look at, like, say, like, the Star Wars movies,
mm-hmm.
When you look at, like, the first three, they were the first three made.
Four, five, six.
Yeah, episodes 4, 5, 6. They were the first ones made. They were fantastic. They were groundbreaking for their time. They were, and still, like, you can rewatch them, and the technology isn't holy shit, but it was good. I don't necessarily like all the remastering they've done with it.
When you do a
I like
prequel,
how much cleaner and clearer it is to see.
When you do a prequel, better technology, it shows. And it makes the original look kind of garbage.
Mm-hmm. And that's, well, the first episodes 1, 2, and 3 were just poorly written.
Yeah.
That was their biggest fault, was they were just not well
put together. I feel like the only reason they got, I can't say they got away with it, but it's before the Empire rose and fall. Like, you know, all these plants are like, oh, these are shiny and clean and all this nice technology. And everything's failing after 4. I'm like, eh.
Yeah, and that's what I liked about episodes 4, 5, and 6 was, like, they would have, like, the ships didn't run the way they were supposed to.
Yeah.
Shit went bad.
Which is one of the reasons they say how Star Trek, everything's perfect, everything works. Star Wars,
everything
barely works.
it's all just mainly functional.
But like the Matrix movies.
I was saying about is not to interrupt you there, but the characters that from 4, 5, and 6 come back in 7, 8, and 9.
Yeah.
And I like that. Like, you brought back Han, you brought back Luke, you brought back Leia. They all had a part in the next series of movies, which I still haven't seen the most recent one. I haven't seen episode 9 yet. But when you look at the prequels, there's no connection from those to, yes, the story connects,
yeah.
But like there's no character that you lay
over. C-3PO and R2-D2 are in every movie.
I did, yeah, that's about as close as you can.
But here's the thing.
I did like when they did Rogue One. I thought Rogue One was really good, but like Solo was a piece of shit. But I know you liked it. I didn't love it. But I feel like there's too much of a separation between 1, 2, and 3 and 4, 5, and 6. But there's not as big of a separation between 4, 5, and 6 as there is between 7, 8, and 9. And there's a huge time. That's the biggest time gap. So the movies that connect the best are the ones with the larger time gap. And they brought back Luke, but they said, hey, Luke aged 30 years. Yes, they exaggerated how 30 years can change. Like, nobody remembers Jedi after 30 years. Like, that's a little weird, like, but whatever, okay.
I feel like with the last three movies, they played it safe and didn't do anything groundbreaking. They did a lot of fan service and a lot of, hey, remember Blue Milk? Yay!
Yeah,
The one podcast I listen to, they talk about this all the time.
It didn't affect me as much as it affected some people, but I do. I understand.
But I agree with this. I believe this concept of, you've got this entire world of Star Wars, so why not make a comedy in Star Wars, a heist movie in Star Wars, a crime drama in Star Wars, like all these different genres,
absolutely.
Do it in the Star Wars universe, instead of just recycling everything and pissing off half the fans, and then the fans that like it are like, oh, it's good.
Okay, but in a way they kind of sort of do, because if you look at Star Wars, if you ask most people, they're going to say episodes 1 through 9.
Yeah.
But if you ask real Star Wars fans and nerds, they're going to mention all the different books. They're going to mention the cartoon
yeah.
series. They're going to mention Clone Wars. They're going to mention
Rogue One. I'm just talking about the movies, though. Like, movie-wise, I'd love to see a crime drama, or I'd like to see a casino in Star Wars universe.
Okay,
or like a 7 in Star Wars universe, or like something like.
Oh, like you mean the casino, like the movie kind
of? Yeah, thing. Take an oral genre. And
no, they absolutely could. And here's the great thing about Star Wars is. For like the layman, for like the normal, regular, run of the mill people, and this is something that I always harp on, and I know it bothers you, that I feel that you do have to play to your audience somewhat. And the majority of people, the mass populace, when you say Star Wars, they go Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
First word out of
But they retconned all the books and shit, so great. They don't care.
It's all of the other. It's the true nerds that go. You say Star Wars, and they don't think Luke Skywalker. They think all of this other world. And Clone Wars doesn't have Luke Skywalker in it, and yet it still is part of the Star Wars world.
Mm-hmm.
Rogue One did not have Luke Skywalker in it. Like you don't need Luke to make a Star Wars. Luke
no.
is not synonymous with Star Wars. Outside of you know, the general populace. And we had this debate a little bit when we got into, because we talked about Batman one time, and actually it was probably more so me and Andy, but we talked about Batman, and I always say, in my opinion, I love Robin more than I like Batman. And if you ask the general person, anybody who knows a little bit about it, if you go, who's Robin, they're going to say Dick Grayson, if they even know his name. People are going to say Dick Grayson. But there's six or seven other different Robins, and they don't know Dick Grayson as Nightwing. They only know him as Robin. So you have like this whole other world that can be created, but you have to play to the general audience, and that's why there's never been a Nightwing movie, or hasn't been one yet. Yes, it's kind of appeared in some TV shows and stuff, but that's kind of like a little more off the beaten path, and it hasn't been hugely popular. When they make a movie, they make it to make money.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like, I hate the fact that we have, here's the general audience, here's a rabid fan base. Fuck you, rabid fan base. Let's make the general audience happy.
Yes. Okay, I know that bothers you, but you got to understand that they're not making... this movie is made on a budget with the intention of... Movies aren't made to make
but
you
you've
happy.
Got, okay.
They're made to make money.
Let me put it this way. They have a life-size model of Princess Leia and all these other characters, like, perfect. That people pay $5,000 for.
True.
These are the fans that are rabid. The general audience is not going to buy that merchandise.
Well, I'm on your side as far as I think that... I don't think they should make a Star Wars movie that is like a Casino Royale or like a mobster movie or a detective movie. But I do think they should make a movie... They could make a movie that would do and could do well that is a Star Wars movie but without the title Star Wars. Like Rogue One was a Star Wars movie. Solo was a Star Wars movie. Clone Wars is a Star Wars cartoon, but they're not Star Wars.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, use the universe. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm talking about, the casino.
Yeah, I agree. And Star Wars is one of the only things I can think of that has that it's a universe. Mm-hmm. It's not a series of characters. Like, the Star Wars movies 1 through 9 are a series of characters.
Yeah.
They're all interconnected very tightly. But really, you could make... Okay, Mandalorian, for example. Mandalorian is doing amazing, and really, it's not about the whole Skywalker saga thing. So, yes, you have that option. Oh, I forgot we're on video. I'm giving you signs and stuff over here, like, so the audience knows what's going on. We are hitting... Anyways, that's enough of that bullshit. Thanks for joining us here on Stream of Consciousness Podcast, everybody. Be sure to like, subscribe, follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Spotify, and the streamofconsciousnesspodcast.com. Joel, I did it right! I did it right! That's like the first time ever I think that I got I didn't fuck any of that up or make a joke out of it. So we'll be here again next week. Be sure to catch our episodes every Wednesday on whatever your favorite media is. And if you just listen to this entire episode and you want to go back and watch this entire episode, we did do a video that you can probably catch on our website and on Facebook. All right, everybody, we love you. You want to say it?
And disco.